Well, good morning. Let's get out our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 this morning as we continue our Christmas series. And this title of this message is Praise at His Presence, Luke chapter 2. We'll pick up in verse 8. I just got to know while you're turning there. I just have to know. Can't help it. How many of you aren't done yet Christmas shopping? That's awesome. I'll see you out there. Oh, my. The rest of you are, I take it. So you know what you can do? You can go out there and help those that aren't. Just go out into the mall. It's always a good thing to go out into the mall or, you know, into one of those stores at this time of year because you really get a kind of a, if you're done especially, you can actually enjoy it. You can watch people run around and maybe, who knows, take advantage to help somebody. You know, you're trying to work this, let me help you work that, you know, and help them out. And then who knows what doors the Lord could open. So you could still be out there and have a little fun and watch people. It's always an interesting thing to watch people. And you can smile because you're done. So, who knows? Luke chapter 2, and let's pray before we begin our study. Lord, we thank you for this time to come, Lord, into your presence, Lord, and to recognize, Lord, that you're there with us every day, every moment, Lord. And Lord, to be made aware as we gather in this place as your people and worship you and God desire to hear from your heart. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one here. That the time that they spend here, Lord, would be a blessing. And Lord, that it would continue to be life transforming and changing, Lord, as we Lord, just behold you and Lord, keep the priority of the reason for the season in the forefront of our minds, which is all about you, Jesus. And so we pray that you would just open our hearts to respond, open our ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today as your church. And Lord, I pray for those that have come in today that perhaps don't know you, Lord, that they may sense your love for them, that they may sense your life in your people, and Lord, that they might today come to open the most precious gift ever given, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Lord, we invite your presence, Lord, to make us aware of our need, Lord, for you and to keep the priorities straight. And we ask you to speak to us now by your Spirit. And we'll give you the thanks for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as Christians, especially at Christmas, I mean, we have a faith as believers that sings, don't we? Music is a big part of it. In fact, if you watch the Sing Off or, you know, some of those music shows, if you watch, you know, The Voice, if you tune into any of those music shows, you'll find that many of them had their beginnings. Guess where they started singing? Church. Started singing gospel music at church. Because music is a big part and a vital part of our Christian faith. And when you think of Christmas, as a Christian, what do you think of? Well, yes, we think of memories, and there may be several other things that you think of, like bills and how much money you're spending and that kind of a thing. But we certainly, as Christians, can't think very long about Christmas without thinking about not only memories, but music. We think of music and the Christmas carols. We sing the songs of the joy of Christmas past and the songs of the future hope of Christmases to come. When we're out cruising in the malls and Target and the various places, when we cruise into Starbucks, there's songs about, well, about Christmas. And there have been many songs written about Christmas, and many rearrangements redone about Christmas. And the songs fill the air this time of year. The songs of Christmas are so much a part of the tradition, and not only the tradition of Christmas, but if you listen closely to the words of some of the songs, you see, they speak and sing about the truth of Christmas. Not simply the traditions, but the truth of the season. Many of the songs, in fact, are more than simply sentiment or songs that touch us emotionally. In fact, if you listen carefully, you will hear them calling out to humanity, calling out for us to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has entered the world that He created. Some of the lyrics of the songs call us to quiet contemplation of the miracle of the birth of the coming of the King. Others shout for joy and call us to rejoice that God has stepped out of eternity into our time-space continuum that we might experience life, that we might experience lasting and true joy. And the music of Christmas, well, it lifts our spirits. It inspires our faith. And it increases our hope. It is in the music and the familiar melodies that people often hear the greatest story ever told. What is that? It's the story of God becoming a man in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a story about how He was introduced, how He was born and lived among us, and how He died on the cross for our sins and rose again, thereby demonstrating His authority to provide life eternally to all who would believe in Him. So the music provides a melody frequently for the message of the Savior that we love and the story that we share. Christmas is really the celebration of a birthday of the King. King of kings and the Lord of lords. Question: what do the songs of Christmas really say? What are they all about? Sometimes we become so familiar with these songs, so accustomed to singing them, that we sing them without even thinking many times about what they mean, without thinking about the words. We sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing." What's that all about? You see, the amazing thing is we can be hearing it playing at the local shopping center or Target or Walmart. We can be at our house or at Starbucks, and we can be driving along in our car, and "Joy to the World" is playing. And we may even be singing while we're calling people, "That idiot, good. Oh man, this shopping thing, this traffic stinks, man. Joy to the Lord has come. I don't know, I'm tired of this Christmas thing." Familiarity can breed contempt in the sense that we don't really hear the message. When we sing "Joy to the World," why is there joy to the world? Well, the song says, because the Lord has come. That's why. God with us. You see, His Christmas presence. God living among us is reason to rejoice. In fact, that very first Christmas, that was the message. Let's look at verse 8 in Luke chapter 2. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." I love that. I love the fact that God came to blue-collar workers. These guys out in the field just tending the sheep, probably many of them being raised to become the sacrificial lambs used there. in Jerusalem. And here they are, just a regular workaday, night. They worked on the night shift here, they were. And of course, at nighttime, any of the sheep, kind of resting at that point, the sun down. And these guys, hanging out, probably talking about things guys talk about. Like, well, what do you think of that new leader, that governor? How do you think of that Herod guy? What do you think? Hey, man, the economy is sure shot this year, isn't it? And these stupid sheep, how long do you think we're going to, have to deal with this? You ever thought of doing something else? And here they are, just a regular night out with the guys, just kind of hanging out at work, just tending the sheep and talking about the stuff of the day, maybe about their families. And then suddenly, into the darkness, and into the lives of these ordinary workers in an ordinary work day, suddenly an angel appears to them. To them. God cares about regular people. He loves blue-collar workers, those that are out there just going through the routines of life. And you know what else? He loves to break in on those routines. And that's exactly what he does. You see, an angel comes. And it says, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory, verse 9, of the Lord shone around them. And they were, this is King James, were freaked out. Greatly afraid. Shaken in their sandals. They were just, whoa, what's going on, man? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? I can't imagine the scene. The guys just standing there looking at each other. Do you see that? Yeah, I see that. Ah! And the Lord says, the angel rather says, hey, stop freaking out. That's what angels always had to say whenever anybody, a couple things they always had to say whenever they appeared. First of all, get up, I'm not God. Okay, stop worshiping me. Knock that off. You're going to be in big trouble for that. And if I let you, I'm in big trouble. So don't be worshiping no angels, okay? Don't be, out there praying to angels and that kind of a thing. That's not something that should happen. You see, these guys are told, don't be afraid. Hey, I got something to tell you. I'm here on task. I got a message, okay? And here it is. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Hey guys, I got some good news for you. Don't be afraid. Why shouldn't we be afraid? Because God is with you. You need to rejoice. God is with you. You see, today is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. God's Son. You see, Christmas is the joy of the birth of a Son. Jesus Christ came out of eternity into time as a baby. One born, this isn't just your average birth, uniquely. Because of who he was. This is not the birth of any ordinary son that was being announced. And I want you to notice, as the announcement is given and the identification is set forth as to who this is, God himself, I want you to note how it is that the angel told them that these shepherds, that they would find him. First of all, you're not going to find what you expect, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when it comes to his birth. No, he won't be surrounded by servants, but by sheep. He won't be lying on a beautiful bed. No, he'll be lying in a feeding trough. He won't be in the palace of a king. He'll be in the stable of a cow. He won't be wrapped in a velvet, a comforter. He'll be wrapped in swaddling cloths, a common, ordinary rags. God is coming, but not in the way man would think, and not to, how man would have him come. You see, he will come differently, uniquely. He's not coming to put on a show. He's coming to live and dwell with men. When I think of that, I wonder. God Himself, the Creator, the Designer of everything that we see and experience, the Giver of life, and He comes now to move into these bodies that He has never had previously in a way that, well, it allows Him to experience everything that other babies experience. How's that? Well, here's the Creator looking at His hand for the first time. You know, babies look at their hands. They go, and they suck their fingers or thumbs, and they discover things. Here is the Creator coming in humility, and He is now experiencing what you and I experience. He needed His diapers changed. He needed to be fed. He needed to be washed. He needed to be cared for just like any other baby. He had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to walk and how to feed himself. And anybody passing him by, you see, would say, well, there's another cute little boy baby. But Mary, oh, she knew differently. And she was amazed, no question, because she knew that this baby was God Himself, as we just heard sang in the song. You see, the reason why the Lord Jesus came in human flesh, why He came as a heavenly son to an earthly mother, is so that He might be one of us, that we might know that He can raise us up to His level as well as get down on ours. He understands. You see, do you know that if we right now had two pianos on this stage, the old kind of pianos with strings and all, and one, they were sitting next to each other, was in close proximity of one another, if you played a note on one, and you push the echo pedal down on the other, when you play the note on the one, that same note on the other piano would begin to vibrate without being touched by human hands, without being struck, you see. Those strings would automatically begin to vibrate. It's called sympathetic resonance. When Jesus Christ came in His humanity, He was like us in every way except that He had no sin. And when a chord is struck, like on that piano, in the weakness of our heart, guess what? It resonates in His heart. He understands you. He knows how you feel, and things that go on in your heart resonate. People sometimes, they don't resonate with them even when you try to explain it. But with Jesus, He understands. You see, there is a note of grief or sorrow or heartache or pain or suffering that can be struck in the instrument of our life that, well, it causes His heart to feel the same thing, to sense the same thing. That's why He was moved with compassion, because He understands. And that's why we can rejoice. And that's why we can sing joy to the world. Because God has come as one of us. He came to be like us, that He might change us to be like Him. So Christmas is the joy of the Son, sending of us the birth of a son. Secondly, it is the joy of the blessing of a Savior. The angel said to the shepherds there in verse 10 in that field that they were not to be afraid because he bring them good tidings of great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. Why was this news so good? For the angel said, he goes on to say, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Now in the Old Testament, and that's all they had at this point, the New Testament wasn't compiled. So when these shepherds heard the word Savior, they went back to the Old Testament. And that word that they used described a deliverer from one's enemies. You see, the word Savior in the Old Testament always refers to the God who delivers his people from defeat, disease, and death. In fact, the Word of God makes it plain that the title Savior belongs to God, Jehovah, and God alone. Thus, this angel identifying Jesus as deity, God himself. Isaiah 43:11. If you're taking note, write it down. If you ever have a Jehovah's Witness, come knocking on your door. A Mormon, come knocking on your door. Those that don't believe in the Trinity or the deity of Jesus Christ, a God himself said, Isaiah 43:11, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. God speaking and identifying himself, Jehovah, as Savior, correct? He goes on in Isaiah 49:26, all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer. Listen, you'll never understand the meaning of Christmas. You'll never experience the real joy or peace of Christmas until you get into your heart that Christmas is the coming of a Savior. That's what Jesus is, a Savior, the Savior. The origin of the words translated in Latin for Savior is a word that means to make safe or secure. It means to deliver from the penalty and the power of sin. The Apostle John said it like this in 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Guess why Jesus came? He came to save. That's what the angel is saying. In fact, before he was even born, when the angel spoke to Mary, he said in Matthew 1:21, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua, which means the Savior, or Jehovah is salvation. If you will think about it, you will realize that he has come as Savior, and as such, that tells us not only about who he is, but guess what else it tells us? It tells us about what we are. It tells us about what we are. You see, because the only people that need a Savior are those who are sinners. The only ones that need to be saved from destruction, you see, and devastation and depression are those that are drowning in it. We are sinners. You see, someone has said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If it would have been technology, he would have sent us a scientist. If it would have been money, an economist. If it would have been pleasure, an entertainer. But the greatest need of man was for forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. to deal with the guilt, to deal with the brokenness, you see, of our hearts. The Savior that He sent must be both human and God, divine. He must be human so that He can die for our sin. If He wasn't human, He couldn't die. But He also must be divine so He won't die in His own sin. So He had to be God Himself, sinless. He had to be human so He could die for our sin, and yet God, so He didn't need to die for His own sin. He was sinless. You see, the enemies testified. I find Pilate, after examining, and he was an experienced, listener to accusations and judgments of criminals, very experienced and seasoned in judiciously acting. And when he concluded, after hearing the accusations and the evidence against Jesus, his conclusion, and he was no friend of Jesus, was, I find no fault. No sin, no accusation that can stick among all those that bring anything. If Channel 2, Channel 4 would have been there with their behind-the-scenes reporters and their cameras, they would have found nothing, because He is God, sinless, thus able to pay the price for our sin. That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For me, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You see, Jesus paying the price as the sinless Son for our sins. That's why there's joy to the world at Christmas time, because of the blessing of a Savior and the birth of a Son. And finally, Christmas is joy because of the beauty of a sovereign. You see, that little baby lying in the manger was not just simply a Savior, but He is also Lord. He's also Lord. A title used over 9,000 times in the Old Testament, and over 6,000 of those times, it is used for the name Yahweh, or what is more commonly referred to as Jehovah. That is incredible and amazing news. This little baby, Jesus, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, born in a stable, was not just Christ, the Messiah of the Jews, nor was He just Jesus, the Savior of the world, but He is Lord of the universe. He is Lord. He is in absolute control of everything. What breaks your heart, you see, at Christmas time is to see how this world continually and increasingly tries to convince both children and adults that the reason why Christmas is such a time of joy and celebration is because someone who doesn't even exist, they call him Santa Claus, is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Better watch out. Better not cry. Watch out for your attitude. Better not pout. Want to know why? And then they tell us in the song, why? Santa Claus is coming, man. Better get your act together. Well, can I say, with all due respect, if Santa Claus is the best that this world can come up with as to why we ought to celebrate Christmas, I'm with a lot of the folks that say, let's just cancel Christmas. I mean, if all we get, hey, guess what? You better straighten up and you better get gifts. Santa Claus is coming, man. Who's Santa Claus? Well, you know, he's like a guy with a long kind of white beard. He's a little overweight and you know, he dresses in this red suit with fur. You know, it hasn't changed over the years to kind of come up with the times. He's still dressed in the same old red suit and he's got his pack and he's got his rosy cheeks and he walks around going, ho, 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 ho. Yeah, that's reason to be good. Not so much. Here's the deal. They want to distract us from the reality. Jesus is coming back. The one who came initially in humility to die on the cross of Calvary for our sin is coming back, you see, one day. It's not about Christmas Santa. It's about a Savior. It's not about gifts, you see. It's all about the grace of God. Jesus will always be the reason for the season because He is Lord. Now, what are some practical lessons that we can learn from the Christmas story and this Christmas carol, Joy to the World? First of all, Jesus, as we've said, is a son. Therefore, we can relate to him because he's just like us. He understands us. Secondly, he's a savior. So we can respond to him even though we are sinners because he will accept us the way we are. Again, he came to shepherds, regular people. He was born in a way that is not impressive, you see. What is impressive is who he is and why he came. And he's sovereign. And that's how we must respond to him. You see, there's joy to the world because the Lord that has come, the hymn goes on to say, let earth receive her king. Let every heart do what? Prepare him room. And heaven and nature do what? Sing. You see, the hearts that receive Jesus as Lord, the hearts that prepare room, is there room in your heart for Jesus? And if there is, how big is the room? Is it expanding or contracting? Are you adding on? Or are you going, I got to cut a little bit more of Jesus. I'll cut a little bit more of Jesus. You know, we can tend to do that this time of year when it should be just the opposite. We got to make more room. We got to prepare more room. You know, we're preparing for the relatives to come over. We're preparing to give the gifts and receive the gifts. We're making all these preparations to make the house look pretty and hanging the lights. But what about preparing room for Jesus? Is there room? Has the room expanded over this last year? Close with this. A father wanted Christmas to be different for his family. So after Thanksgiving, he called a family conference. Being convicted of the Lord, he thought he'd get his wife and children together and make sure that things were going to be different. And he wanted to set out a course. And he says, hey, I want us to be more disciplined in the management of our time. I want us to curtail excessive spending on gifts this Christmas. I want us to get along and try and be kinder and sweeter to one another. And I really want us to have a more godly atmosphere in our home. And he was getting all amped up, kind of like a coach with a team, you know, before the big game. And finally, he kind of closed it off with a big rallying cry. Let's make this the best Christmas ever. And so he was done and feeling pretty proud of himself. When suddenly his little second grade son raised his hand and said, Dad?
What?
The father replied, kind of exasperated. We can't make this the best Christmas ever. Dad's going, come on, what do you mean? The little boy said, because there's no way we could ever improve on the first Christmas. There is no way. You can't improve on it. The best news you will ever hear during Christmas is not news about Santa Claus, but it's news about Jesus. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And guess what? He's coming again. And we celebrate. You see, it's a party Christmas, a birthday party. For who? For Jesus. The singing and the celebrating, appropriate. But don't forget whose party it is. Don't forget there's joy in the hearts of those who have responded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Deliverer from sin and guilt and emptiness and purposelessness and addictions and depression. Jesus alone can save you out of that if you'll simply come to Him today. Or you are a Christian, if you're a Christian man, prepare Him room. Make sure you're preparing Him room in all the preparation. If you're not a Christian, you know what? It's time. What are you waiting for? The best gift that's ever been offered to mankind has been offered to you today. God loves you. That's why He came, to live among you, to identify with you, to feel what you feel so that He can help you out of that place of loneliness, out of that place of brokenness, and give you power to change what you can't change through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you haven't come to Him today, if you haven't opened that gift, it's there for the taking. Why are you putting it off? Now's the time. Today's the day. Quit making excuses and make a beeline for Jesus. Just get with it, man. Quit wasting your time and start investing your time in things that will last eternally. There's joy because God is with us, you see. Let's pray.